but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
John Wilner, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News, joins us every Friday to talk about college football and whatever else. You can catch him on Canzano and Wilner, the podcast as well, on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to that. Wilner, you had a great piece on Stanford. You talked to Andrew Luck. What did you gain from your conversation with Andrew Luck about Stanford football?
Well, they are just, you know, kind of at the start of a reclamation project. They have fallen so far behind. You know, they have gone 3-9 for four straight seasons, and right now they're 3-7, so they could be 5 in a row. They lost ground. They had institutional indifference at just the wrong time. And so, I talked to Luck about how you're going to get this thing out of the gutter, basically. And they did receive a $50 million donation in October from a former player, and they're going to use that to, you know, help with revenue share and the new coaching staff. But they got a long way to go. And at Stanford, it's not easy. It's a lot harder than it is at most places. So we'll see how successful he is.
I want to go back to when David Shaw left. You know, Shaw obviously saw this, right? He saw the pivot point coming. He was struggling. Stanford was struggling to matter with the portal, NIL. It was like this perfect storm of things that none of them benefited Stanford, right?
No, they were the worst possible combination of events, right? Coming right out of COVID, when Stanford had, you know, they had a lot of issues, as did Cal here in the Bay Area. Coming right out of COVID, you got NIL and you got the portal. And those things work in direct contrast to Stanford's academic mission. And it was tough. And, you know, Shaw both saw the problem, saw the trouble up ahead, but also was part of driving the train off the cliff, because, you know, he and his staff did a poor job of recruiting in the late 2000s, right before COVID. So they had already started a downturn, and then everything else just exacerbated it.
The Frank Reich era, this interim era of Stanford football, like, you know, did they get what they needed from Reich, or, you know, as a stopgap, and or what, you know, what can he impart to the next coach?
You know, I think that they are, you know, they've been competitive, 3 wins, but they did beat Florida State. So they didn't fall off a cliff really under Reich. And I think that was a big part of the process, because it's easy to do when you got an interim coach, right? I mean, look at Oregon State. So I think that they have managed to kind of stabilize under Reich. They're hoping that the experience has been good enough to convince some of these guys to stick around and not transfer. But time will tell. I think certainly, you know, it could have been a lot worse given that they fired Troy Taylor in, what was it, March.
They make a mistake by changing from Taylor, or can they afford? Do they talk about that at all, the decision to move on from Taylor and start over?
Well, I think that Taylor, they had a lot of, they had some personnel issues, some HR issues with Troy Taylor, multiple HR issues that included investigations into his behavior and conduct. And they got to the point where they just had to move on. They probably could have moved on a little earlier. And it was only once all that stuff became public that they decided they needed to make a change. So they kind of blew it there. But I think ultimately they pretty much had didn't have a choice. It was just bad timing being in the spring. And so Luck turned to, you know, his former coach with the Colts, with Reich. And it's worked out as well as they probably could have hoped.
Help me with Andrew Luck's, you know, role moving forward. Does he want to be hands-on? Does he want to look like Ron Rivera at Cal? Or, is this a temporary thing? And then he kind of fades to the backdrop.
Oh, no, he's hands on. I mean, he sells tickets. Like, he calls fans and says, tries to get them to buy season tickets. He watches film. He's at practice. He's on the sidelines at games. He's raising money. He is involved in every aspect of it, like Ron Rivera at Cal. And I don't think, you know, once they hire a coach, I don't think he's going to, you know, he'll step back a little bit from the day-to-day duties, but he's going to continue to work full time on the big picture stuff, you know, the money raising, the NIL issues. He is not going to, you know, kind of step away from the job at all.
Who do you like in the big game? Cal is a 3-point favorite. Stanford is always taking these games seriously. Who do you like?
I would, it's tough. I kind of think Stanford, only because Cal should win, and it just feels like the difference is not big enough that Cal's just going to go out there and blow them off the field because they've got too much talent. And Cal has done a good job of losing games that it should win this year. And Stanford has been, you know, like I said, pretty competitive at home. So I actually think Stanford's going to win, but it'll be close either way.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. Yeah. USC and Lincoln Riley are coming to Oregon tomorrow, 12:30. Games on CBS. Oregon is a 9.5-point favorite. What do you see happening there? Bigger game for Oregon, bigger game for USC, bigger game for both? You tell me.
Oof. Well, I don't think Oregon's going to get in the playoff if they lose. So to me, it's probably a big game for both. USC for sure isn't, because it would be loss number three. But given where Oregon is and all those SEC teams, I think that the Ducks might be out if they're 10-2. So it's a huge game for both. I also don't think that USC is guaranteed to get in the playoff if they win, because 10-2 USC, they got to be behind Notre Dame because they're head-to-head. Notre Dame may have to be behind Miami. I mean, the teams start to line up ahead of the Trojans at 10-2. So I think Oregon is guaranteed to get in if they're 11-1, but USC is not guaranteed to get in if they're 10-2.
I like Oregon to win. I like them to cover the 9.5 points. We often don't agree on these kinds of things. How do you see it?
I do think that if it's bad weather, if it's raining, that would help the Ducks.
Partly cloudy, 51, 9% chance of precipitation.
Okay. So it should be pretty dry. I kind of think that the Trojans are going to keep it close. I don't think they'll win, but 9.5, 10, 10.5, I would probably pick the Trojans. I am not, and I'm probably in the extreme minority, I'm not convinced Oregon's that great. They have blown bad teams and mediocre teams off the field, which is, that in itself is impressive. But, I mean, the one really good team they have played, they got beat badly. And I think SC could keep it close. I really do. The Trojans are a little bit better than they've been. They're better coached on defense. They're tougher mentally than they've been. I kind of see this thing being, 31-24, 33-27, something like that.
Wilner, the Big 12 has Texas Tech, and then it's got BYU and Utah behind them. I know, you're looking over at the Big 12 and thinking they might not only get one team in. Utah's got Kansas State at home. BYU is playing at Cincinnati. What's the best case scenario for Brett Yormark's conference?
The best case scenario is you kind of have to reverse engineer it. Which is the team that has the best chance to be in the field as an at-large? That would be Texas Tech. So then, all right, Texas Tech's in the championship game. Who's the team that has the best chance to beat Texas Tech? I probably think it's Utah. I may not be giving BYU enough credit, but I saw BYU get run off the field by the Red Raiders, whereas the Utah-Texas Tech game was actually close until the fourth quarter. So if I'm the Big 12, I think what I'm rooting for is BYU loses to Cincinnati, opens the door for Utah to get in the championship game. Utah then beats Texas Tech by, a field goal. And I think the Red Raiders might get in as that large. I don't think that either BYU or Utah is going to get in as an at-large.
Even 11-1 BYU, like an 11-1 regular season BYU, you don't love them in. You don't love them in the bracket.
Well, no, because then they'd lose. If they're at-large, that would mean they lose the championship game, so they'd be 11-2. And I don't think a two-loss, they're right now they're out of the field. They aren't playing a ranked team. And so if they get two wins against unranked teams and then lose, I just don't see how they're going to climb.
UCLA.
Just the way the SEC is stacked up is a big part of the problem.
Let's talk about the SEC. Do you think the SEC is that good? Or would you be surprised if the Big Ten or somebody else wins the national championship? It'll be three in a row if it's the Big Ten.
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly I would bet on you on Ohio State. If I had to pick somebody, I think Ohio State's probably the best team. What the SEC has is quality depth. I mean, they go six or seven deep with good teams. And I know a lot of folks, they're not really that better in the Big Ten, that much better in the Big Ten. But there's not many metrics available to gauge the quality of play in each conference. One of those few is how you did against the other conferences. And in Power Four versus Power Four games, the SEC won 10. The Big Ten only won 5. The SEC had by far the best winning percentage in Power Four versus Power Four games. I take that as an indication that it does have more quality depth than the other conferences. And so I can see how the committee would have 5 teams in the top 10. I really can. If you use those non-conference results as kind of the starting point, it makes sense.
Wilner, UCLA is looking for a coach. They'll be hosting Washington. Is this the last game at the Rose Bowl? Are we watching the last regular season game for UCLA at the Rose Bowl, or are you seeing this as something different?
I think that there's certainly a really good chance of that. Now, if I were betting, I would bet that ultimately they cut a deal with the Rose Bowl and negotiate better terms on their lease. And I think that's a big part of what they're trying to do here. Use SoFi as a leverage to get a new lease in Pasadena. But there's clearly a pretty good chance that that's not going to happen, and they're going to move. And that, yeah, this is the last regular season game played at the Rose Bowl, which is incredible to consider. I think that that's a big part of UCLA's football identity is the Rose Bowl. And moving to SoFi would just kind of untether them from any identity, and they'd get even lost deeper in the morass of the LA pro sports scene, I think. To me, it's a terrible decision unless they're successful in getting better terms on the lease with the Rose Bowl.
Washington, the questions about Jed Fisher swirling. Huskies look like they'll beat UCLA, then they'll match up with Oregon. You know, there's an 8-win season for Jed. How do you rate that if that's how it goes down? They beat UCLA, they lose to Oregon. That's their regular season. Or, how do you evaluate Washington's season at that point?
At that point, it's probably pretty good. I mean, I'm just the way they played on the road, I don't know that they can beat UCLA. I mean, if you lose to Wisconsin, you can lose to UCLA on the road. That's kind of how I view it. But if they're 8-4, it's pretty good. You know, they had 3 non-conference cupcakes, really. No offense to Washington State, but 8-4 kind of means 5-4 in the Big Ten, right? That's okay. It's not, the Big Ten's not very good. So at least the middle isn't that good. So Washington's kind of in there with a bunch of mid-level teams. I'd say it's probably a B-minus year for Jed if they're 8-4.
John Wilner, you're the best. I appreciate you. Listen to Canzano and Wilner, the podcast. Watch it on YouTube. Wilner, thanks for joining us. Appreciate you, man.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, I'll tell you what's on tap this weekend. We'll give you all the college games, what I'm looking for, the NFL games, and everything in between, some NBA as well. Also, read me at johncanzano.com. If you read me, and we've talked about this throughout the show today, Oregon State narrowing its field. 3 finalists next week. 3 finalists will interview with athletic director Scott Barnes, I am told. It is a field of about six to eight candidates that has been whittled down. Among the candidates, Jim Mora Jr., the UConn coach. It's kind of an interesting twist in the search. Few new names out there right now. If you read me at johnconzano.com, you've got them. But Jim Mora Jr. talked with the hiring committee. So did North Dakota State coach Tim Polasek, who is currently 25-2 at North Dakota State, coming off an FCS national championship last year, 11-0 again this year. Jamarcus Shepard, the Alabama assistant, who previously worked at Washington and Washington State, is in this. Paul Christ, former Wisconsin and Pitt coach, is in this. Montana State's Brent Vegan is in this. And I'm told Will Stein, Oregon's offensive coordinator, also received an interview. Some other names: West Virginia head coach Neil Brown, former head coach Neil Brown, Tosh Lapoy, Oregon's defensive coordinator. I don't know if either one of those got an interview, but they were in this as well. I am told the search firm DHR is coordinating the scheduling of the final round interviews. A little bit of urgency here. Oregon State would like to announce this hire as close to the end of the season as possible. I want you to leave it here. What's on tap is coming up next.